Hello, I'm Minister Corey Jones, and I want to welcome you to the Health and Wellness in Focus program and podcast. This is brought to you by New Covenant Church, Vision Communications, and Pastor Brian Hudson. The Wellness Connection, foundational text supporting that is John 10:10. I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I'm so excited about today's episode as I'll be interviewing a brother and a friend of mine, Chaplain Alberto Adorno. Let's welcome him to the program and podcast. How are you?
Doing good, doing good. Thank you to New Covenant Church. Thank you, Pastor Hudson. Thank you, Corey, for having me here.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure to have you on today, sir. So our topic for today, what we want to address is emotional wellness. So the wellness connection, we want our congregants, we want the community to be well. And we feel as though health and wellness is not just a public concern, but it's also a spiritual concern. So I'm so excited about the topic that we have on today, which is emotional wellness and combating social isolation. So I want to start off this interview on today. You are a clinical chaplain. You're a resource chaplain. You have experience working at Methodist Hospital, Riley, and some of the other IU hospitals. So what is a day in the role of a clinical chaplain?
A day in the role of a clinical chaplain. That is something that it's a good question. You never know what you're going to be walking into. It could be a just what they call a regular day where you serve your unit and just see the patients that you are to see. Or you could have a crazy day where you make plans that I'm going to see this patient and you never get to them because something else went on in the hospital and you were needed there. And so, yeah, a day in the life of a chaplain is something that is really hard to put in words, but it usually starts out when you come in the morning. There's always, the morning meeting. They go over reports of things that happened, the previous night. And then you go to your unit, and then usually there'll be a meeting. Chaplaincy is part of the medical team. So chaplaincy is involved in meetings at the units, and, you'll be there. They'll go over all the patients in the unit. And then you go out and you see the patients that you are to see.
Awesome. So IU is very big on spiritual care as a part of the healing process, as a part of the recovery process. And I think a lot of people might just get confused as to what a chaplain is. You know, is the chaplain, is that the pastor? Or when they see the chaplain, they're like, who died? So kind of could you speak to, some of the support that you do with the other medical professionals in providing care?
In providing care, chaplain is, like I said, it's a part of the team. Mm-hmm. We provide spiritual and emotional care support. And we're just there for the patients, families, just meet them right where they're at. Mm-hmm. When you are a pastor of a congregation, you have people that come to your church. But when you're the hospital chaplain, you go to the patient's room. So you don't know what faith tradition, how they find their spirituality or other religions they might have that is not the same as yours. Mm-hmm. So you got to put in your mind that you're there for the patient. Yeah. And not for yourself. And just my main goal and what I try to do is just to have patients and family see God's love through me. And even though I run into patients and families who don't believe in God, I still make that my main focus.
That's good.
We're there to, to be with the patient. Like I said, we support them. We do spiritual assessments. Sure you're familiar with some of those. Mm-hmm. And just based on conversation, see what their support system is, see how their hospitalization is, taking a toll on them.
Yeah.
And just meet them right where they're at and just walk with them.
Yeah.
Sometimes it could be a 10-minute conversation and sometimes it could be an hour-long conversation. Mm-hmm. And just making sure that the patients are feeling heard because most of the time, you know, people don't feel heard.
Yeah.
And that that has to do a lot with, you know, social isolation.
Okay, that's good. So I didn't mention this in our introduction, but me and Alberto were in a class together, our first unit of chaplaincy, and we were taught by the late Reverend Chris Brown Jackson, who has gone home to be with the Lord. So he was African-American male educator, board certified educator through ACPCE. Is it ACPCE?
ACPE.
ACPE, board certified educator. And he taught us a lot.
Oh, yeah.
And so you mentioned a lot of care that you guys provide for the patients, but you also provide care for the employees as well.
Yes, sir. We do staff care. That's very important as well. Mm-hmm. Of course, we take care of our nurses, doctors, technicians, staff members, whatever position you may hold. If you're the chaplaincy, we're available for staff members. It is very important, as you know, your patients are in the hospital. You don't want to be overwhelmed.
Yes.
Taking care of patients. So we also provide support to staff.
That's very important. Even here at New Covenant Church, we've created a caregiver support group. So providing care for those who are caregivers. So not only are you guys pulled on by people who are in the hospital, but also the staff who are caring for those people. Yeah. And, you know, no one wants to be in the hospital alone. You mentioned social isolation. Which is one of the focuses of today. In your opinion, how does social isolation impact healing and recovery?
It impacts it a lot, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. If you're socially isolated, you know, you're feeling down, it takes a toll on you. Mm-hmm. And obviously, it's going to slow down everything else because our bodies work that way.
Yeah.
And I mean, everybody works differently, but it'll take a toll on you. Yeah. And so when we see patients that are, you know, facing social isolation, I make it a point to, you know, spend a little bit more time with them.
Yeah.
Just providing that ministry of presence goes a long way. Mm-hmm. Goes a long way. Making sure that they're heard. Sometimes they just want to crack a joke,
mm-hmm.
or sometimes they just want to talk about their life story, and just making sure that you're there. It goes a long way.
Yeah. You know? Being present.
Being present. Mm-hmm. Providing that ministry of presence goes a long way. And, it does wonders, man.
Mm-hmm.
Just the fact that you're there shows them that somebody cares for me.
Yes.
And it could turn around that whole social isolation, and my recovery is going to take forever to, wow, I got somebody coming in and being with me, talking to me, making me feel good.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
That's, yeah.
That's good. So the chaplain is not only called, and I didn't give you this question, but the chaplain is not only called when people request a chaplain. Sometimes they're called when the patient might be having some difficulty, may have become violent with nurses or something like that. How do you de-escalate those type of situations?
It's a good question, man. So that we're part of chaplaincy, is part of also a team that shows up whenever that goes on.
Mm-hmm.
And just our job there is to de-escalate the situation, just make sure the patient's heard. Sometimes they could be called for the simplest things. Oh, I couldn't speak, and the nurse was frustrated, and she called this, and now everybody's here.
Mm-hmm.
So just making sure that you're there.
Yeah.
I've been in some situations where I've gone in, and it was just that. Family wasn't being heard, and they just needed somebody to help them express what they were feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, it's...
That's good. That's good insight. And you spoke a lot about hearing, making sure that you're hearing people. And then that example, you're kind of in the middle, you know, being... like an intercessor between the patient and the nurses, or maybe the police officers.
Yeah.
So a lot of times, you just come into a situation unknowing. So you also have to read like body language, what they're saying and stuff like that to de-escalate the situations. That, you know, that's awesome. And it's a great skill to have. So what advice would you give to someone who wants to support a friend or a loved one or someone experiencing the symptoms of social isolation?
To get a little bit of information of active listening, which is something that you touched on, is just not just hearing what you have to say, but also paying attention to the body language, everything that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Show up and just be present. Provide that support. Show them that you care.
Mm-hmm.
And also show empathy. Man, empathy goes a long way.
Yeah.
Especially in our field of spiritual care. That's something really big.
Yeah.
Because if you could imagine yourself in the other person's shoes,
yeah,
it'll make you a better chaplain. It'll make you a better pastor. Make you a better spiritual caregiver.
Mm-hmm.
So show up with some empathy.
Yeah.
And just be there. Be present.
Yeah. Yeah. Show up with empathy. Now, this is good for those who are, you know, not in spiritual care roles, but it's also good for those who are, yeah, as you mentioned. So I caught Alberto the other day. He said, hey, it's self-care day. I'm at a game. How important is self-care for those who allow God to use them to be a listening ear and to support others?
It is very important.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm going to take care of, let's say you're the patient and I walk into your room and we have a 30-minute conversation. I leave that room with your baggage as
mm-hmm.
well.
Mm-hmm.
And just imagine doing that with 20 different people in a week.
Mm-hmm.
So you need that self-care.
Right.
You need to find something that makes you happy, kind of makes you disconnect yourself from the world,
mm-hmm.
and just be at peace. To some people, that looks like we have a peer who she has a nothing day. Which okay. for that whole day, she does nothing.
Mm-hmm.
We have people who like fishing, and I like watching sports. So just find that something that you like doing, and it is very important. I would encourage, you know, once a week, a self-care day. Also, having a therapist is something that is very important.
Mm-hmm.
My therapist has helped me a lot with what we call leaving work at the door.
Mm-hmm.
And we have worked a lot. And so having a therapist is also a good self-care practice to have in these roles of pastoring and chaplaincy and just providing spiritual care.
Yeah. No, that's good insight. We're here with Chaplain Alberto Adorno. He has on his Riley hoodie. And he's also at Methodist sometimes and
University sometimes.
Yeah, what's it called? The AHC?
The AHC.
The entire AHC.
Yeah.
And I want you to share, because you enjoy being at Riley the most. Do you notice social isolation in the days of social media? Do you see that with the children that you visit and stuff like that are of age?
Yeah, you see that with kids of age, with teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they're in the hospital room and they don't have their phones. They don't watch TV.
Mm-hmm.
So you do experience that, and that's where we come in, and just like I said before, make them feel heard, support them. And with teenagers and kids, it's different because they'll give it to you straight.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to be ready for it.
Yeah.
You know, I like talking to kids because they, in Spanish, we say that kids don't lie.
Mm-hmm.
They're straight shooters.
How do you say that in Spanish?
Los niños no mienten.
Okay. Okay.
They're straight shooters.
And yeah.
So you got to be ready for it
because mm-hmm.
they'll tell you how they're feeling.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, you do see that in the pediatric setting as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So there was a tool that I remember Reverend Chris spoke about. reverent acknowledgement. Could you share what that is and how that might impact people that we communicate with?
Reverent acknowledgement was something that our educator, the late Christopher B. Brown Jackson, was very big on.
Mm-hmm.
So reverent acknowledgement is pretty much what we have talked about throughout. It's just being there.
Mm-hmm.
Just acknowledging things.
Right.
Hey, your arm hurts. You look like, I'm not saying your arm hurts, but hey, you look like you have pain in your arm.
Right.
And just going for it.
Yeah.
Acknowledging the, how people say the elephant in the room.
Mm-hmm.
Acknowledging the elephant in the room.
Yeah.
Sometimes it could be my arm hurts. Sometimes it's I'm depressed because I've been here for 30 days and they don't know what's wrong with me.
Yeah.
Or sometimes the elephant in the room is the doctor told me that I have 3 months to live.
Right.
And a good way to reverent acknowledgement is just take a risk.
Right.
And I wonder if you're feeling very depressed because they just shared this bad news with you.
Mm-hmm.
And my educator now, she's very big on empathic statements,
mm-hmm.
which is the I wonder, I can't imagine, stuff like that. And I have tied that with reverent acknowledgement, and it goes a long way.
Okay.
Goes a long way.
A long way in allowing them to, like, feel comfortable to open up and share.
Yep. It goes a long way. They'll open up to you. Now, if you're wrong, they'll tell you, too. Because I could say, hey, Corey, I wonder if your arm hurts. And you'd be like, nope.
Mm-hmm.
My pain is right here.
Yeah.
So you got to, when you take this risk, you got to be 50-50.
Right.
Yep. And if they start crying right away, that means that you hit their story.
That you hit their story. Yep. Okay. This is good. So what's interesting is that you go into people's rooms in hospitals. Okay, people who just received bad news, people who just found out that, you know, they might only have so much time to live, or that they have a terminal illness, people who are not only having a medical crisis, but also might be disinherited in the fact that, you know, they come from low income, low socioeconomic statuses and things of that nature. And you share some great insights, especially in regards to self-care. But I want to know, what's your perspective, or if you have any thoughts on how communities can better support, you know, individuals who might feel socially isolated?
By doing more outreach,
mm-hmm.
Just showing that we care for everybody, mm-hmm. in our communities. I would also suggest, like, churches having open doors for people to come in and express how they're feeling.
Mm-hmm.
But also, you know, to be on the lookout. I mean, you don't have to know somebody to say, hey, you know, how you doing? You look like you're having a rough day. I'm here for you, even though we might not know each other. So I would just encourage our community to be a little bit more empathic,
mm-hmm.
and just try to see ourselves in somebody else's shoes.
Yeah.
And that goes a long way.
Yeah. That's good. You, you know, seeing everyone, even if they're not a believer or attend your church, but just viewing them as sons and daughters of God.
Yes.
And because you go into these places, you know, sometimes not knowing what you're walking into. But you meet them at very low moments in their life.
Yeah.
So you come in with the presence of the Lord.
Yeah.
Amen. So you're not there to get into theological debates with people who might be in different denominations and stuff like that. You're there to love. You're there to serve. And how does that make you feel that God's using you like that?
Man, it's awesome. It's an awesome feeling.
Mm-hmm.
When you're guided by the Holy Spirit and you let God guide your steps,
mm-hmm.
it feels awesome. Yeah. To know that God is using you to make a difference in somebody else's life.
Yeah.
I've always pictured myself, and it's a crazy metaphor, like God is a mechanic, and you know, mechanics have these big toolboxes.
Yes.
And every tool is different.
Yes.
So every tool is used for a different job.
Right.
And I see us like that. I see us being a different tool for a different purpose in God's kingdom.
Amen.
And the way I go about it is just every day I start. I don't know if you remember the first day on our unit before we walked into Methodist, we had a prayer outside.
Yes. Yes.
I always start out like that in my day. I have a prayer outside before I walk in the hospital.
Amen.
And just ask God to guide my steps, use me for His glory. So it's very big. Like you said, man, you walk into these spaces of people who may believe in God, people who don't like God. I've read into people who have actually told me they hate God. And it's my job not to judge them, but to be there as a non-anxious presence, to meet them where they're at and just walk with them.
Mm-hmm.
And I explained to, like you said before, people see chaplaincy and they assume somebody's dying or something went on. I just tell them, I was like, I'm here to support you in whatever way needed.
Yeah.
If you need me to sit here and not say a word, I'm here and I will say a word.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, you walk into, you don't know why you're walking into.
Right, right. So this is very good. And you know what they say, if you can do any job if you got the right tool.
Yeah.
Or, you can do any job if you got the right tool. So God is adding to your spiritual care toolkit, your chaplaincy toolkit, which is awesome. And so there's a lot of people post COVID who may be struggling with social isolation, who may be struggling finding some type of connection, or maybe there's people who, you know, recognize that there are people hurting around them, you know, close to them, and they just don't know how to approach them. What advice to either of those groups would you just give or share with them?
You know? So if you're facing social isolation, just the first step is just recognizing that you got to ask for help, even though sometimes it's difficult and you may not want to, because you have 1,000 feelings going through your head and you feel like the world is against you. But asking for help, it goes a long way, because there's a lot of people out here who care about you. And now on the other hand, if you see somebody struggling with social isolation, you could go out of your way and just make yourself available to them. That's all people need sometimes, just having somebody to be there for them. And like you said, post-COVID was a difficult time, and we saw numbers go crazy, sky high with people and social isolation. And just, I think we're still, I mean, not as high, but yeah, there's a lot of social isolation going on. And it just, we got to take it a day at a time, you know, with social isolation and just finding ourselves present.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Hey, this is Minister Corey Jones. I'm here with Chaplain Alberto Adorno. This is the Health and Wellness in Focus program and podcast brought to you by New Covenant Church Vision Communications and Pastor Brian Hudson. The Wellness Connection, Advocacy, Education, and Resource Connection, John 10:10. I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Social isolation is real. And if you are experiencing it, we ask that you would just reach out for help. Also, if you are looking to provide care for those who might be struggling with social isolation, we pray that some of the insight and information that Chaplain Alberto has shared on today's episode will not only bless you, but also help you as you let your light shine and encourage others. Final words. Is there anything else that you just want to share with the people? Any words of encouragement as we end this segment today, Chaplain?
Yes. Man, allow yourself to be used by God.
Yeah.
Just put yourself in God's hands and let Him guide your steps. Be a presence. Anywhere you go, try to make a difference for the positive. And just, man, be yourself. That's something that I have learned with this, with chaplaincy. Mm-hmm. Be yourself. Be your authentic self.
Thank you, Chaplain Alberto, for all the care that you provide for the patients and for the community. God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you.
All the information that you shared on today. Again, I'm Minister Corey Jones. This has been brought to you by New Covenant Church, Vision Communications, and the Wellness Connection, and Pastor Brian Hudson. We want to thank you guys for watching on today. We pray that this information has blessed you. Be sure to be on the lookout for our next episode. Subscribe to our YouTube. Please thumbs up our Facebook page. You can visit wellnessconnectionindy.org to find out additional information about the Wellness Connection and how you or your church can be involved in the information resource allocation that we are providing. Thank you so much for joining us on today's episode. Until next time, be well.